Beneath a cloud-shrouded moon at night, words appear on a bridge spanning two illuminated buildings. Hyde Park Entertainment. Caption: TriStar Pictures Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and Hyde Park Entertainment present an Ahsoka Ammertridge, Offspring production. A film by Menon Yapo. Starring Sandra Bullock. Title: Premonition. An overhead view of a 30-ish brunette woman sitting in the passenger seat of a convertible with her hands over her eyes. A dark-haired man approaches, helps her out of the vehicle, then leads her forward.
I hate surprises.
Yeah?
Yes.
You didn't mind when I surprised you with my promotion?
Well, that wasn't a surprise. That was earned by my genius husband.
Good answer by my genius wife.
Well, see, I thought you only liked me for my body.
I do like you for your body.
What are we doing?
He removes her hands from her eyes.
Surprise.
They stand before a house with a sold sign in the yard.
I don't understand. What is it?
The house?
Yes. Yes, I can see that. Thank you.
Also known as a home, sanctuary, dwelling.
Yeah.
Or if you like, you could just call it ours.
Ours?
Mm-hmm.
Where would we get the money? I mean, how do we get into something like this?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe with the key?
He dangles a key before her.
Oh my God. Oh my God, are you kidding?
She hugs and kisses him.
Classic. 1920s, wood frame, 3-bedroom, 1.5 bath. And the old owners even left us a brand new swing set out back.
Oh, well, I think I'm a little big for swing sets.
Maybe you have to fill out those spare rooms sometime soon, right?
Thank you.
With her arms around him, she kisses him again.
I love you.
I love you too.
In a bedroom, the brunette woman lies asleep in bed. She stirs, then rolls over onto her back. A young girl enters.
Mommy? Mommy? When's Daddy coming home?
What, baby?
When's Daddy coming home?
Today, baby. It was just an overnight trip.
Why couldn't he take us?
Because it was work and we couldn't go. But how about a good morning, Mommy? Nice to see you.
Good morning, Mommy. Mom, you gotta get dressed.
Sweetie, we got plenty of time.
We're gonna be late for school.
Oh, no. We're not gonna be late for school. Better get going or we'll be late for school.
At the door, an older girl turns and leaves. In an SUV, the brunette woman and her daughters pull up in front of a school. The girls step from the vehicle.
Bridget, are you okay with your spelling words?
Yes, Mom.
Hey, don't forget your lunches. I got it. Come on, cut it. Give me a kiss.
Come on, Megan, I'm my team.
The brunette woman smiles as Bridget, the older girl, and Megan, the younger girl, run toward the school entrance. An overhead view of the SUV making its way through a residential neighborhood. Caption: Starring Julian McMahon, Nia Long, Kate Nelligan, Amber Valletta, Courtney Taylor Burness, Cheyenne McClure, Mark McCauley, Jude Ciccolella, Mark Familietta, and Peter Stormare. In a residential neighborhood, the brunette woman jogs along a sidewalk. Caption: Associate Producers, Malcolm Peddle and Kim Anderson. In a shower, water pours over the brunette woman's head, face and body. In a living room, the brunette woman attaches bumblebee decals to a window looking out onto a deck and yard. Caption: Music by Klaus Badelt. Elsewhere in the living room, The brunette woman wipes the top of a shelf with a rag. Caption: Executive Producers, Andrew Sugarman, Nick Hampson, and Lars Sylvest. Produced by Ashok Amritraj and John Jashni. She throws the rag in a laundry basket, then takes out a child's striped sweater.
This isn't dirty.
She tosses clothes from the basket into the washing machine. Caption: Produced by Adam Shankman, Jennifer Jaggett, and Sunil Prakash. She dumps detergent into the machine, then turns it on. Caption: Written by Bill Kelly. Directed by Menon Yapo. She makes her way upstairs, then pauses before a mirror and examines her face. She runs a finger under her eye, then continues into a bedroom. In the kitchen, the brunette woman on the phone.
Hey girl, what's going on? I can't believe it's Thursday already.
Tell me about it. I have no idea where this week went.
God, I wish you were here. I'm having the hardest time trying to pick out my dress for tonight. What about you guys? You have any big plans for the weekend?
What, besides jetting off to Acapulco? No.
Yeah, right. Okay. I gotta go. I gotta figure out what I'm doing with my life right now.
Oh yeah? What's his name?
His name? Well, the name is really bad. It's Harry. But you never know. He could be the one.
Bye.
The brunette woman ends the call with her dark-haired friend.
You have one new message. First new message.
Linda, listen. I need to tell you something. I meant what I said in front of the girls the other night, and I just want you to know that. And to please remember it. Damn it. Someone's calling. Hold on. Is that you?
End of messages.
Linda furrows her brow. Linda on the phone.
If you'll leave a message, I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
Hey, it's me. Got your message. I don't know when you left it, but, just call me when you get mine.
She ends the call. With a cigarette in her hand, she sits at a patio table on the deck. In the kitchen, she makes a list while examining the food in a nearby cupboard. She makes her way to the front door, then opens it. A police officer stands on the porch outside.
Mrs. Hansen?
Yes?
Linda Hansen?
Uh-huh.
I'm Sheriff Riley.
Yes?
I'm, sorry to tell you this. Your husband, Jim?
Yeah?
Was in a car accident.
She brings a hand to her chest.
He died on the scene.
Her eyes widen as she stares at the sheriff.
When?
Yesterday.
No. No, it's impossible because I just heard his voice on the answering machine, so.
Well, I'm sorry, ma'am. We couldn't get to you any sooner. The other driver was in a truck. Semi. Pretty certain it was instantaneous. Jack and I. Mile marker 220. Truck driver was killed as well. Your husband? Ma'am, is there anything that I can do?
Ma'am?
Mrs. Hansen?
Ma'am?
Ma'am, is there anything that I can do?
She shakes her head.
Can I call someone for you? Let me leave you my car. Okay, if you have any questions, you just call me.
He turns and leaves. She follows him with her eyes for a moment, then looks up at birds in the sky above. She backs into the house, then closes the door. Inside, tears stream down her cheeks. She makes her way back toward the kitchen. In the kitchen, she scans her surroundings. On the wall, the eyes and tail of a black and white cat clock move back and forth with the ticking seconds. In the SUV, Linda drives. Bridget and Megan sit in the back seat. Linda's face contorts with emotion.
What's wrong, Mommy?
In the front foyer of the Hansen house, Bridget and Megan hang up their coats. Bridget turns to Linda.
Mommy?
What's wrong?
She crouches before her children.
When's he coming home? Is he okay?
Linda shakes her head.
No, baby's not.
She pulls her daughters close, then hugs them. An overhead view of the Hansen house. At the dining room table, Megan and Bridget do a jigsaw puzzle with a gray-haired woman.
Wow, I'm impressed. You guys got this far all by yourself?
Yeah.
That's really amazing.
On the living room couch, Linda on the phone.
Hey, it's Annie. Leave a message at the beep, and I promise I'll get right back to you.
Hey, Annie, it's me. Could you please call me as soon as you get this message? Thank you.
The gray-haired woman and the girls continue working on the puzzle.
Wow. You girls are doing so great.
Daddy's better at puzzles.
He was going to help us.
An exterior view of the Hansen house at night. In the living room, Linda sits on the couch with a cigarette in her hand. The gray-haired woman descends the stairs, then approaches her. She sits on the couch beside Linda.
Hi, honey.
Hey.
I think I finally got them to sleep.
Oh, I should say goodnight.
No, don't do that. They just fell asleep. Leave it. I was thinking about everything we need to get done. Tomorrow we should probably start looking into funeral arrangements. And then, just see where you are in terms of insurance.
I'm not ready for that, Mom.
Nobody's ready for any of this, dear. But you'll be surprised at how strong you're going to be. You know, when I lost your dad...
I can't stop thinking about our serving platter.
What serving platter?
You know, the big one on the top shelf, the one that his folks gave us. I can't reach that. Jim does that for me.
Well, nobody expects you to get everything done in the first few days, dear. I'm pretty tired. I'm gonna go lie down in the den. I'll get some sheets out of the closet. I'll be right up here if you need me, dear.
Linda's mother leaves. Linda turns and looks at a framed wedding photo of her and Jim on the nearby mantel. She rises, approaches the mantel, takes down the photo, and stares at it. She closes her eyes. A flashback. Outside a church, Linda in a wedding dress and Jim in a tuxedo. People throw rice at them. They kiss. Smiling, they continue down the steps of the church. In the living room, tears stream down Linda's cheeks. She opens her eyes, then slumps down onto the couch, clutching the photo to her chest. Outside, moonlight shining through trees intensifies. White light fills the room. In her bedroom during the day, Linda lies asleep in bed. Sunlight pours in through the window. She awakens. She furrows her brow, then slowly rolls over onto her back. In the corridor, she glances into her daughter's room as she passes it, then approaches the guest bedroom.
Mom? Mom?
She opens the door. There is no one inside. She descends the stairs. On the floor near the bottom of the stairs is a briefcase. She makes her way past it and continues toward the kitchen. In the kitchen, she spots a man's jacket atop a chair. Leaning over the counter, drinking coffee, Jim watches TV. She stares at him.
Jim.
He turns to her. Bridget and Megan enter.
Mom, we're late. Three times a week, it's attention.
Now, is that a good way to start the day? How about good morning, Mommy?
Good morning.
All right, I gotta get going to the Monday morning meeting. Ah! Plenty of hugs for everybody. All right, I gotta get going. Train this new assistant manager. Pack their lunches, ready to go. Are you okay to take him to school?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You girls have fun at school now.
Bye-bye, Daddy.
See you, honey.
He leaves. Linda turns to Bridget and Megan, who eat breakfast. Linda turns toward the front door. In her SUV, Linda pulls up in front of the school.
You okay with your spelling words, Bridge?
Yes.
Hey, you guys, don't forget your lunch.
Bridget and Megan step from the vehicle.
Come on, Megan, get out of the car.
I'm coming.
Linda brings a hand to her mouth, then furrows her brow. In the kitchen, Linda picks up a notepad, then turns to the cat clock on the wall. She glances at her wristwatch, then turns to the phone on the counter nearby. She approaches it and activates the answering machine. In her SUV, Linda makes her way along a city street. A vehicle speeds through an intersection in front of her and nearly collides with hers. A police car pulls up behind her. An officer steps from the vehicle and approaches her. She produces her insurance papers.
That was quite a stop there.
Yeah, I was totally...
It is the sheriff.
Yeah, I got... I was totally distracted.
Let's just take it a little easy out there, huh?
Sure.
We don't want anyone getting hurt now, do we?
In a grocery store parking lot.
Trying to figure out, should I call him? I mean, I really feel like I want to call him, but then it's kind of like, I think that's breaking the rules. I think it's better if I just wait.
Annie turns to Linda.
What?
Did we talk yesterday?
Yeah, we talk every day.
No, I mean, did I leave you a message?
I don't think so. Why? Wait a minute, hang on. I'm the one with the crisis, okay? Are you sure you're all right?
Yeah.
Everything's cool with you and Jim?
Yeah, everything's exactly the same.
As Linda finishes loading groceries into her SUV, a bottle of wine rolls out of a shopping bag. She closes the hatch. On a sidewalk, Linda jogs. In a washroom, Linda showers. In the living room, Linda wipes the top of a shelf and the objects on it with a rag. She turns to a laundry basket atop the nearby washing machine. She furrows her brow, then approaches it and takes out a child's striped sweater. With furrowed brow, she looks through the other items in the basket. In the backyard, Linda hangs clothing and sheets on a clothesline. She steps backward onto a child's toy and falls to the ground. As she rises, she presses her hand against a dead bird in a pile of leaves. She glances at the blood on her hand, then rises and makes her way up the steps onto the porch. As she enters the house through the French doors, she smears blood on the window. At the kitchen sink, she removes her wristwatch, then vigorously scrubs the blood off her hand. In the yard, she tosses the dead bird into a garbage can, then peels off a pair of rubber gloves. At the dining room table, Jim, Megan, and Bridget eat dinner.
So, how was everybody's day?
Linda sets a plate before Jim.
It was okay. Kind of boring. Yeah, kind of boring.
Linda sits at the table.
Boring, huh?
In their bedroom at night, Linda and Jim lie in bed together. She watches him sleep. She lays a hand on his shoulder. He stirs, then rolls away from her. She withdraws her hand, then rolls onto her back. She closes her eyes. In her bed, she awakens, now wearing a man's shirt. She reaches out into the empty space beside her, then bolts upright into a seated position.
Jim?
She notices she is wearing a man's shirt. She turns and furrows her brow at a bottle of wine and a wine glass on the bedside table. The bottle is the one that rolled out of the shopping bag. She rises and approaches a quilt hanging over a mirror. She moves the quilt aside and looks at her reflection. She approaches the door of an ensuite washroom.
Jim.
She enters the empty washroom, then takes a pill bottle out of the sink. With furrowed brow, she looks at the label.
Lithium.
She sets the bottle on the edge of the sink, then steps into the corridor where a blanket hangs over another mirror. She stares at it for a moment, then turns and descends the stairs. From the landing, she looks down into the living room, where her mother Annie and others are dressed in black. Annie and her mother approach as she reaches the bottom of the stairs.
Here she is.
Hi, honey. Did you get some rest?
What's going on?
Hey, how you feeling? But why don't you go upstairs and let's get some clothes on?
No,
you want to go upstairs and get dressed?
Where are the girls?
Girls are fine, dear.
Those
girls are fine, honey. Don't worry about the girl.
This isn't right.
What is it?
No, everything's fine. Do you need to go upstairs and get more sleep?
No. I don't need any more sleep, and I don't need to wake up either.
Everything's going to be fine.
No, Mother, everything is not fine. Okay. Something is really, really wrong.
Okay.
He's not dead.
Linda turns and steps out onto the porch. In the yard, Megan and Bridget, both dressed in black, swing on a swing set. Megan hops off the swing and runs toward her mother.
Hi, baby. Hey. Hi. Oh, sorry I wasn't awake when you guys got up.
Grandma said we had to let you sleep.
No, baby, you can always wake me up. What's your sister doing?
Swinging.
Yeah.
I think she's sad.
Well, I'm a little sad right now.
Linda carries Megan toward Bridget, who swings with her back to them.
Bridget. Baby.
Linda lays a hand on her head. Her face badly scratched, Bridget turns to Linda, whose eyes widen. She crouches before her daughter.
Oh my God. Oh my God, baby. Baby, what happened to your face? Baby, talk to me. How did you get these cuts? Who did this to you, baby?
What?
The cuts on your face.
There's no cuts, Mommy.
What are you talking about?
She's perfect, like a beautiful princess.
Linda turns to Megan and stares at her for a moment, then pulls Bridget into her arms. An overhead view of a church. Outside, people dressed in black make their way up the steps into the building. From the street, Megan, Bridget, Linda, her mother, and Annie, all dressed in black, make their way toward the church. Linda pauses, then turns and watches a hearse pull up. Her mother turns to her.
You all right?
What if this is a mistake?
What do you mean a mistake?
People just don't die one day and are okay the next day, that's all.
It's not a mistake, Jim.
Oh, okay, Mom, did you see inside the casket?
No, I didn't see,
okay,
dear, but
well,
it does.
Something is seriously fucked up with this situation.
Linda, we need to go in the church now. Mm-hmm. Come on,
no,
dear.
No, you need to take the kids inside.
Well, why don't you come
just
inside?
Just take the
with
kids
us.
Inside.
Go ahead with the kids. Linda?
Linda approaches the hearse. A gray-haired woman and two men stand outside the vehicle.
Hello, Mrs. Hansen.
Oh,
I just want you to know that everything's on schedule.
I need for you to open up the casket.
Oh, no. I don't think that would be a very good idea.
Open
not
up the casket, goddammit.
Open it up.
Open it.
Mrs. Hansen. I beg you to let this go.
Don't do this to me.
Mrs. Hansen, I have to warn you. There was a problem with
what
the body.
What kind of problem?
They didn't want to tell you the way he died. They didn't.
What about the way that he died?
There was a deep cut, a severing.
What kind of severing?
The two men drop the coffin as they pull it out of the hearse. A severed head falls out of it and rolls down the street. As one of the men throws his jacket over the head, the other restrains Linda. In a cemetery, Linda and others stand over a grave.
Jim left this world a beloved person. His friends spoke about his kindness, his laugh, his graciousness, his helpfulness and consideration to everyone around him. But his greatest devotion was to his family, his girls, as he liked to refer to them, his lovely wife, Linda.
Linda spots a blonde woman standing behind a tree.
His daughters, Megan and Bridget.
What? Who's that?
And what better tribute is there to any man?
In
the reflection of his own love, in the heart of any man left behind. And so, dear friend,
Linda,
it's okay.
Linda makes her way toward the woman.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
The woman spots Linda, then hurries toward a nearby car.
Please wait.
I'm sorry.
How do you know my husband?
I just thought that after we talked.
We talk.
Well, yeah, yesterday.
Yesterday.
You don't remember?
No. I've never met you before in my life.
I'm just gonna go, okay?
Please talk to me.
You have all my sympathies and your girls,
too. Who are you? Please don't.
The woman drives off. Linda follows the vehicle with her eyes. In the ensuite washroom, Linda rolls the pill bottle between her hands. She turns and looks into her bedroom, where Megan and Bridget lie on her bed, watching TV. She turns away and looks at her name on the label of the bottle of lithium. She leaves the washroom, passes through the bedroom, then steps into the corridor and picks up the yellow pages. Her daughters approach.
Hey, why don't you guys go downstairs and visit with Grandma and Aunt Annie?
No.
I'm sure it'd be fun.
What are you looking for, Mommy?
Mommy needs someone to talk to, baby.
Why don't you talk to us?
Baby, I love talking to you, but this is grown-up talk, and Mommy needs some help, okay? Come on, baby, please go downstairs.
A page has been torn out of the book. She glances at the pill bottle, then rolls it between her fingers. She turns and looks at a nearby wastebasket that is filled with crumpled wads of paper. She approaches it. She takes a wad out of the basket and uncrumples the missing yellow page.
Dr. Roth.
She picks up a nearby phone, sits, then dials.
You've reached the offices of Dr. Norman Roth. We are currently closed. Our office hours are Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m.
In the living room, Linda sits on the couch with her arms around her daughters, who sit on either side of her. Linda's mother sits in an armchair. Annie enters.
Do you guys want some tea or coffee or anything? Can I get you something?
Megan and Bridget shake their heads.
Maybe we ought to think about getting the girls to sleep, huh?
Oh, yeah.
It's been a long couple of days.
Yes, it has. All right, girls. Come on with Auntie Annie. We're going to go upstairs and we'll get your jammies on, okay? Then I'll read you a story. Yeah?
Linda's mother answers the door. A bearded man, the sheriff, and two men in suits enter.
Come in.
Good evening, Mrs. Kane. Hi there, Annie. Hello, Linda.
Hello.
I'm Dr. Roth, remember?
No, I...
Roth turns to Linda's mother. He turns to Annie, who holds Megan in her arms.
Annie.
Okay, girls, let's go upstairs. Let's say goodnight to Mom. And get our jammies on.
Please don't be angry. Please don't be angry with us.
Wait a second, Annie, what are you doing?
Linda, your family, your family cares about you.
What are you doing? Mom, what are you doing? Annie,
what else could we do?
What?
Just tell us what happened to Bridget's face.
Mom, I don't know what happened to Bridget's face.
See, that's what I mean.
What happened?
Mom, I would never do anything to harm my child. Get away from me.
Roth grabs Linda, who backhands him. The sheriff and the two men restrain her.
I can't do this! Look at what you're doing! Baby! It's okay, baby! No, it's okay! God, look at what you're doing! Stop it! No, it's okay, baby! Mommy's sorry! Mommy's very sorry! Stop it! Mom!
The men drag Linda from the house toward an ambulance outside.
I'm sorry.
Linda's mother buries her face in her hands, then closes the door. In a corridor, Linda is handcuffed to a bench. She struggles against her restraints. A man approaches, then leaves.
Sir!
She kicks her bare feet. In a nearby room, Roth and the sheriff.
Obviously, she's never been committed before. The husband was in a fatal car crash on Wednesday. I told her about it on Thursday. Whoa. Hold on. Wednesday? That's strange. She showed up in my office on Tuesday, claiming he was already dead or gone to be.
She said he was going to die before the accident?
Yeah. Be sure it was an accident.
She overhears their conversation. In a medical room, Linda is strapped to a stretcher. On her arms are fingerprint-sized bruises. She turns and watches an orderly prepare a syringe. Roth enters.
Hello, Linda.
Please don't do this. I just want to go home to my girls. Please don't do this.
Please just let me go home to my girls.
We have time to talk about that.
Please don't do this. Please don't do this. Please don't do this. Please don't.
As the orderly holds her still, Roth gives her an injection.
Everything's gonna be just fine.
The lights above her become blurry. In her bedroom during the day, Linda lies asleep in bed. She stirs, then lifts her head. She turns, then scans her surroundings. She sits up. She pulls up her sleeves and examines her now bruise-free arms. She turns toward the slightly open door to the ensuite washroom. Someone is showering inside. She rises and makes her way toward the washroom. She pulls the door open, then enters the washroom. She approaches the shower. She pulls the curtain aside. Jim is showering. He turns to her.
What?
With her clothes on, she steps into the shower and wraps her arms around him from behind.
You're okay?
Come on, Linda, you're gonna get yourself soaked.
Just give me a minute, just one more minute. I can hear your heart beating and it feels so good.
He turns to her and holds her.
Hold on. Hey, hold on. Everything's gonna be fine. Come on.
I promise.
I promise.
He furrows his brow.
What is it, honey? Tell me what's going on.
I don't even know how to explain it.
He takes her face in his hands and sweeps the wet hair from it. She nuzzles her face against his chest. He separates from her, looks into her eyes for a moment, then steps out of the shower. In the kitchen, Linda pours cereal into a bowl.
Girls?
Megan and Bridget enter. Linda turns to Bridget's unscratched face and smiles. Bridget smiles back.
Hey. Oh, hi. Oh, you're so beautiful. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. You are beautiful. You're both beautiful. Oh.
Linda pours milk onto Bridget's cereal. Outside the school, Linda crouches before Megan and Bridget.
I need for you to be very, very careful today, okay? No playing at recess. I don't want you running around, okay? Just promise.
Ma'am, you're holding
sit
up the
quiet.
Line.
Promise me.
Ma'am.
Okay? Just give me a second. Just promise me. Promise?
Okay. I promise.
Okay, baby, you're gonna promise me too, okay?
All right.
Good girl. Okay. There you go. Let's be good.
The girls turn and approach the school.
Ma'am, come on. Please.
Linda turns from the crossing guard. In her SUV, Linda pulls into her driveway. Then steps from the vehicle. She makes her way up the driveway, then pauses and approaches the garbage cans. She flips open the lid. A swarm of insects rises up off the dead bird. She flinches, then with her hands over her face, slams the lid shut. In the ensuite washroom, she searches the medicine cabinet, then looks through a drawer. In the bedroom, she looks through drawers. In the corridor, Linda stands, tapping her fingers against her lip. She rushes into the bedroom, then begins searching through drawers. She runs her fingers through her hair, then picks up the yellow pages. She flips through the book until she comes to Roth's number under the heading, Psychiatry. She tears the page out of the book. In his office, Roth with a secretary. Linda enters.
You've got Mrs. Lynn at 3, and then you're free until 5.
Yeah, that's right. Keep that open for me. Okay. Who's this?
Mrs. Stevenson.
They turn to Linda.
Can I help you?
I'm Linda Hansen.
Hello, Linda. I'm Dr. Roth.
Do you know me?
Should I?
Roth and Linda.
I wake up and he's dead. I wake up and he's alive. Different things around me all the time that I can't explain. Things that I've done. People talking to me. People who know me, but I have never met.
People like me?
Yes.
Seems a little complicated.
Tell me about it.
What about the lithium bottle?
I don't know. I misplaced it somewhere. I don't know.
Hmm?
Look, I can't explain it, but I thought if somebody was trying to
drug you?
Mm-hmm.
Why and who?
I don't know. You tell me.
I didn't prescribe it.
But your name was on the bottle. Why do you think I came here?
To get some help. Obviously, you're dealing with some inconsistencies.
Well, yeah. I wake up every morning to find my husband has died again. I think that goes just a little beyond inconsistent.
How do you feel? During the times he's dead?
What?
I mean, what kind of emotions run through you? Is it sorrow, resentment, relief?
What are you saying?
Well, it's a pretty common daydream to imagine people being dead.
I'm not daydreaming, okay? I wake up and he is dead.
Except for today. Do you have any history of mental illness in your family?
No.
What about yourself? Any episodes of psychosis? Memory loss? Judgment lapses?
I don't want him dead. It was a car accident.
Well, there's no crime imagining something.
I'm not imagining it. He's dead.
Roth paces around his office, then sits down at his desk.
Well, it is a little odd. But the prescription was for lithium.
Why?
Because that's probably the best thing for you right now. It'll help you cope. Do you think you can make it in to see me here tomorrow?
She smirks and shakes her head. In her SUV, Linda pulls into a parking lot. She steps from the vehicle, then enters a car dealership. A man in a suit smiles at her.
Hey, look who's here.
Hey, Bob, is Jim here?
Yeah. How come you don't come by and see us anymore?
She approaches Jim in his office.
Hi.
I need to talk to you.
What is it? What's going on?
I know I've been acting strange, but there's something wrong. There's something very wrong.
What is it, the girls?
No, they're fine, at least for now. Can we just go somewhere? Just us. Let's just take the girls. Let's go.
Yeah, I can't go anywhere.
Please,
I have to work.
Please, I really need you. Can you just...
I need to go to this sales meeting.
Excuse me. Jim, we're waiting for you.
The blonde woman enters. Linda turns to her.
I'm sorry. Who are you? I'm Claire Francis. You must be Jim's wife.
Yeah,
Linda. I've seen your pictures. It's nice to meet you.
Claire's our new assistant manager.
Your husband's been really helpful the last few weeks.
Claire smiles at him.
Guys, we're starting.
Excuse me.
She leaves. Linda lowers her eyes.
I can talk about this later.
Jim kisses Linda on the forehead, then leaves. She steps from his office and watches as he enters another office with Claire. On the sidewalk in front of their house, Megan and Bridget play hopscotch. In the ensuite washroom, Linda stands at the sink. She pours herself a glass of water, then takes a pill bottle out of a pharmacy bag. She looks at the label. It is a bottle of lithium from Roth. She empties two pills into her hand, then looks at her reflection. She dumps three more pills into her hand. Outside, the girls play hopscotch. In the washroom, Linda empties the bottle into her hand. She glances down at the pills, then tosses them and the bottle into the sink. She turns to the window. Outside, it begins to rain.
Girls, hurry, the laundry's outside, shout it!
Hurry!
Bridget runs into the house. Bridget runs toward the French doors.
Bridget, no! Bridget! Bridget, no!
She turns to Linda, then crashes through the glass door. Megan approaches and puts her hands over her face. Linda lifts Bridget off the porch.
Baby, okay, I'm right here, I'm right here. Megan, go get me some towels, please!
Bridget's face is cut.
I got you.
Linda loads Bridget into the SUV, then climbs into the driver's seat. Megan sits in the back seat.
She's still bleeding, Mommy.
In an emergency room.
Somebody? Somebody,
please. Dr. Norman, can you tell me what happened?
She went through the glass door.
Any allergies?
She said codeine.
Okay, let's put her in 14, please. Ma'am, I'm going to need you. Wait out
here.
No, ma'am, we'll take care of her. Everything's going to be fine.
It's going to be okay, baby.
Jim approaches.
Is she okay?
Yeah, they just took her in.
You all right?
Yeah.
He hugs Linda and Megan.
She was running. I had to get the laundry and she just went through the glass window.
With Megan in his arms, he takes a few steps forward, then returns to Linda and kisses her on the forehead. In her bedroom, a badly lacerated Bridget lies in bed.
What are you doing, Mommy?
We are gonna forget about mirrors for a while. Until you feel a little better.
Are you gonna have ugly scars forever?
I don't want any talk about scars.
Alright.
Because as far as I'm concerned, there are no scars. I don't care what anyone tells you, okay? You understand? Because you're beautiful.
Like a princess.
Linda turns and smiles at Megan in the bed beside Bridget's. She smiles back. Linda kisses Bridget's scratched up hand. On the porch at night, Jim sweeps the broken glass. Linda approaches from the living room. He turns to her.
I thought you were going to put up stickers.
I did. I don't know, maybe. Maybe I thought I did.
Christ, then.
What are you blaming me for this, though?
I've asked your mother to come and stay while I'm gone.
What? Why?
Just to help, you know?
I don't need any help.
Help take care of the kids.
I don't need any help.
Look, you can take a break, you know, some time to yourself.
For what? Time to myself for what? What, so I stop acting like a crazy person?
What are you talking about?
You are not separating me from my kids. I'm a good mom.
A wave of emotion washes over her face. He turns from her, then makes his way down the steps into the yard. At night, Linda makes her way upstairs. She enters her bedroom, then turns toward the open door of the ensuite washroom. She takes off her jacket, revealing a blood-smeared white sweater beneath it. She pulls the torn yellow page out of her back pocket. She crumples it into a ball, then tosses it into the wastebasket. She furrows her brow. Downstairs, she pulls a large sheet of construction paper from a pad, then sets it on the table and draws a calendar. She writes the days of the week at the top of the grid. She looks down at the events on the calendar. A flashback. The sheriff at the door.
Yesterday.
She writes in the Wednesday box.
Jim dies.
Jim enters.
Wednesday.
What's she doing?
She folds up the paper, then slides it under the tablecloth. Jim is in the kitchen.
Jim, don't go on this trip, please.
I have to. I waited a year for this interview. Besides, it could be good for us, you know? Take a break from each other.
Well, it might be a bigger break than you bargained for. What if something happens to you?
Something could happen to me on my way home from work. Should I stop working?
You want me to beg? I will beg. Please, just don't go. You have children and you have a family.
Why are you saying that? You think I've forgotten that?
No, I haven't.
Because I haven't.
I realize that. I didn't say that you forgot. Just listen to me.
Look, you just...
I need for you to listen to me.
No, just listen
to me.
Stop it.
Just do me one favor. If tomorrow's Wednesday, just please wake me up before you leave.
If tomorrow's Wednesday.
I know it sounds crazy. Just please wake me up, okay?
Jesus.
Promise me.
I promise.
Okay.
Okay.
The sun rises over the Hansen house. In the living room, Linda lies asleep on the couch. She stirs, then opens her eyes. She rolls onto her side, then pulls the framed wedding photo out from under her. She rises, approaches the dining room table, then reaches under the tablecloth. Her mother enters.
Oh, that guest bed is just awful.
Mom. That's right, you stayed over. It stayed over.
Did you forget I was here?
No. I remember now. So that Friday morning.
She pulls her calendar out from under the tablecloth and spreads it out on the table.
Right. Okay, there's 2 days left. This is Sunday and this Friday. How do we know that?
Shit! Are you all right?
Claire Francis, who's Claire? Who's Claire?
We talked.
We had yesterday. You don't remember?
She writes Claire's name down on the calendar, then circles it. She folds up the calendar, slips it back under the tablecloth, then rises and makes her way upstairs.
to be with the girls. You had the shock of your life yesterday.
Tell me about it.
In a residential neighborhood, Linda steps from her SUV and approaches the front door of a brick house. Claire answers the door.
Is there something we should be talking about?
Claire lowers her eyes.
Something involving my husband? I told you. I think you just did.
On the deck of her house, Annie with Linda.
He was gonna cheat on me.
What? Well, wait a minute. How do you know? How did you find out?
Just to talk to her. She told me everything.
When?
Today.
Oh, hon, I'm sorry. Are you still in shock?
No. Mm-hmm. Well, I passed up shock a couple days ago.
The whole thing is bad. The accident, the other woman, it's a mess.
I don't know if it's so bad. Well, maybe it was supposed to happen.
What do you mean?
Even though he didn't do anything yet, the damage that it would have caused us, the girls, maybe it was enough that he was going to.
Are you listening to what you're saying?
We were roommates, Annie. We were roommates with two girls. And my roommate was a liar.
In a bank, Linda enters and makes her way through the lobby. In a safety deposit box room, she flips through a document entitled, Term Life Insurance Policy. In an office, Linda sits at a desk before a 30-ish man in a suit.
Well, as far as your mortgage and your daughter's education, it should all be taken care of. And with the annuity Jim left, you should be pretty much set income-wise, so.
You know, Linda, I have to tell you, the timing in all this.
Timing? What do you mean timing?
Jim stopped in to see me Wednesday morning, right before his
trip. Wednesday?
Yeah. And he seemed very anxious, like he wasn't quite sure of things. And he kept talking about you and the girls. And he said that no matter what happened, he wanted to make sure you're all okay. And then he tripled his death benefits. I mean, it's not a problem. The police reports all confirm it was an accident. So I'll just get this cleared through the main office and I should have a check for you fairly soon.
With her eyes lowered, she nods. On a lakeshore, Linda stands, looking out at the water. A gray-haired man approaches her. Behind them, a sign reads, Model Homes, now open.
Nice view, huh?
Yes, very.
You have a family?
I have two daughters, but,
It's no big deal. Happens to a lot of people. They drive by here just like you did, see the houses by this beautiful lake, and suddenly say to themselves, what a great place to start over. I moved here after my divorce.
Really?
Yeah, it's great. It's like a whole new life.
In a funeral home, a woman on the phone at a desk. Linda enters.
This moss pink velvet is very nice. I believe I would like that for the showroom. And Mr. White, I'll have to call you back. Thank you. Hello. I'm Dorothy Quinn.
I know.
Got it?
At the dining room table, Megan, Bridget, and Linda's mother do a jigsaw puzzle. Holding a bakery box, Linda enters and approaches them.
Hi, honey.
Hi, Mom.
She crouches before the girls, opens the box, then hands them each a cupcake.
One for you.
Oh.
Thanks. Thank you, Mommy.
You're welcome. You know how much I love you, right?
The girls nod. Linda's mother follows Linda into the kitchen.
Linda?
Yeah.
I don't want to upset you, but...
What is it, Mom?
I know this is very difficult, but I really do think we need to drive out to the funeral home, dear. I'll go with you.
Oh, it's done.
What?
I've already made all the arrangements.
Oh. Well, when were you thinking of having the...
The funeral is tomorrow. It's all set.
Saturday?
Saturday.
That soon?
Yes, that's it.
Linda puts a bouquet of flowers in a vase, then leaves. Her mother furrows her brow. In her bedroom, Linda, wearing a man's shirt, sits in bed. With her fingers, she strokes a heart-shaped locket with an engraving that reads, Jim and Linda. She drinks wine. Her mother enters.
Okay, hon.
Hi, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
If I let Jim die, is that the same thing as killing him?
Her mother furrows her brow.
Honey, Jim's already dead.
Linda looks up at her mother.
Good night, dear.
Her mother turns and leaves. Linda sets her wine glass down on the bedside table. At night, an overhead view of Linda, wearing a man's shirt, lying asleep in bed. A shadow falls over her, then sunlight fills the room. She now wears a tank top. Jim lies in bed beside her. She stirs, rolls onto her back, then turns back toward Jim and opens her eyes. He awakens.
Girls, can you keep it down, please?
He rises.
Oh, it's Sunday.
All day long.
He puts on a pair of slippers.
Hey, why don't you take the girls out for a while? You know, you guys should spend some time together. And then go have some fun.
Yeah, okay. That's a good idea.
He steps into the corridor.
You girls want Daddy to make you some pancakes for breakfast?
Yeah!
They follow him downstairs. Outside the church, Linda pulls up in her SUV. She steps from the vehicle and makes her way toward the entrance. She enters and makes her way down the aisle between the pews. She approaches a gray-haired priest, who organizes hymnals in one of the pews.
Hello, Father.
He turns and smiles at her.
Linda, it's been a long time.
She nods.
I'm scared, Father.
From the shore of a pond, Jim, Megan, and Bridget feed ducks. In the church, Linda and the priest.
1632. Dutch trading colony off the coast of Carolina. An hysterical midwife claimed to have walked through the aftermath of a terrible hurricane that hadn't happened yet.
So what happened?
They hung her for being a witch. 2 days later, the entire town was wiped out by a gale force hurricane.
That's awful.
Let's skip ahead to the 20th century. Boston, 1918. At the height of the influenza epidemic, a father told friends he'd been to the future and seen the graves of his 2 small children. He went insane and shot them both to spare them the disease.
Oh my God.
The autopsy showed the children were never infected. He shot himself a week later.
Who are these people? Why did it happen?
You see, history's full of unexplained phenomena. Nobody knows why. Some people thought they suffered from what the ancients called blasphemare absens fides, the dangers of the faithless.
The faithless?
It's the notion that nature abhors a vacuum, even a spiritual one. People who've lost their beliefs, they're like empty vessels, more susceptible to having their lives taken over by forces bigger than themselves.
It's almost like a curse.
Or a miracle.
Yeah, well, I don't believe in miracles.
Every day we're alive can be a miracle.
Well, it doesn't feel that way. Not for me. Something bad is going to happen. I need your help. I need your direction. I need faith.
Faith is just believing in something beyond yourself. Something you can't feel or smell or touch. Like hope or love.
I believe I've let that all go.
Maybe you should try and get it back again, huh?
But if it's too late?
It's never too late to realize what's important in your life, to fight for it.
I don't know what to fight for.
An overhead view of him laying his hands on her shoulders. At a playground, Megan descends a curving slide into her father's right arm. He holds Bridget in his left. He lifts them into the air. All three smile. They approach a man selling balloons. On a highway, in the oncoming lane, a man in a motorcycle approaches Linda and her SUV. She pulls over onto the shoulder of the road. She steps from the vehicle and stares at a sign that reads, Mile 220. She steps out into the middle of the highway. She scans her surroundings. Flashing images appear.
Who are these people? Why did it happen?
History's full of unexplained phenomena.
Bridget! No, Bridget!
Nobody knows why.
Open it up! No!
Obviously, you're dealing with some inconsistencies.
Dangers of the faith.
I'm Claire Francis. Your husband's been really helpful the last few weeks.
Jim.
How do you feel during the time? Is dead?
You don't want anyone getting hurt now, do we?
If I let Jim die...
It's never too late.
Is that the same thing as killing him?
Inconsistencies.
Same thing as killing him.
A flashing image of a car crash. On the highway, she steps out of the way of an approaching car, then makes her way back to her SUV. She opens her car door, then turns and stares at the mile marker sign. At the Hansen house, Jim enters with Megan and Bridget, who hold balloons. They run off. Linda approaches Jim.
Did you guys have a good time?
Yeah, we had a great time.
She smiles at him and nods.
Good.
He glances at her, then looks away. Her smile dissipates. She turns and leaves. An exterior view of dark clouds sweeping over the Hansen house. In the kitchen, Linda prepares a meal. She opens a cupboard door and reaches for a serving plate on the top shelf. Jim enters and takes the plate down for her.
Let me help you with that. So good.
He leaves. She turns and stares at the serving plate. In the living room at night, Jim sits on the couch, flipping through a stack of documents. Linda sits in an armchair across from him. Megan and Bridget enter and throw themselves into Jim's arms.
Oh, good girls. Mwah. Oh. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Mwah. Night.
Night.
Linda hugs and kisses her daughters.
Oh, what's this all about?
Mama said to give you extra hugs.
Extra hugs? Oh, well, how about extra hugs and extra kisses? Now off to bed. Go brush your teeth.
Hey, girls, why don't you tell Daddy how much you love him?
Love you, Daddy.
Me too.
Well, thank you, ladies.
Aren't you going to tell them?
Tell them what?
That you love them. You do love them, don't you?
Of course I do.
Then tell them.
You girls know how much I love you, right? Huh? Right? I love you more than anything in the whole world.
Mom, too.
Wasn't anything?
Linda looks intently at him. He turns to Bridget.
I do love your mom.
He looks at Linda.
I love her very much.
Linda rises and leaves. In the yard at night, Linda stands, watching clouds sweep across a full moon. Jim steps from the house and approaches her.
Linda! What are you doing out here? Honey, let's go back inside.
How did we get here, Jim? I miss you. I miss us.
Still an us. It's just different now, that's all.
Why? Why is it different?
I don't know why. What did you expect us to be like?
Just the way we used to be.
It begins to rain.
Linda, look at us. We're married. We've got a house, a mortgage, two kids. Why do we have to talk about this now? Why can't we just go inside?
Because we're running out of time!
Lightning hits a transformer on an overhead wire. The power line snaps and falls to the ground, along with a dead bird.
Watch out!
Jim puts his arm around her. They run to safety. The charred corpse of the bird lies on the ground. In the bedroom, Linda stands, looking out the window. Wearing a white undershirt, Jim enters. He stands and watches her from the threshold for a moment, then approaches and sits down on the bed. He begins taking off his shoes. She turns and makes her way toward him. She stands before him and stares down at him. He looks up at her. He lowers his eyes. She kneels down before him and takes off his shoe. She tosses the shoe aside, then lays a hand on his thigh. She looks up into his eyes. He puts an arm around her, then pulls her close. He presses his forehead against the top of her head, then holds her. He holds her face in his hands and looks into her eyes. She brings her face closer to his. They kiss. In their bed at night, Jim and Linda lie in each other's arms and stare into one another's eyes. In her bedroom, Linda sits up in bed. She picks up the phone. In her bedroom, Annie answers the phone from bed.
Hello.
Annie, what day is it today?
It's Wednesday. What's the matter?
Linda hangs up.
Girls, Jim!
She runs downstairs.
Jim!
She runs into the kitchen, then reads a note on the counter.
Be back tomorrow.
She picks up the phone, dials it, then puts on her shoes.
Hi, this is Jim Hansen. I can't get your call right now, but if you'll leave a message, I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thanks for calling.
Outside the school, Jim watches the girls enter the building. His cell phone lies on the passenger seat of his car. Linda runs and climbs into her SUV. In his office, the insurance broker and Jim.
I should be able to take care of this right away. No problem.
Thanks, Doc.
Jim rises and leaves. He steps from the insurance office onto the street. Outside the school, Linda pulls up in her SUV. She looks out the window, spots Megan and Bridget on the playground, then speeds off. On a highway, an overhead view of Jim in his car. At an intersection, he turns left onto Highway 57 West. He picks up his cell phone. In a hotel room, Claire on the phone, sitting on a bed.
Hey.
I just got to the room. It's really nice. I can't wait for you to get here. Jim, something wrong?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I can't do this.
Do what? The interview?
Us.
Jim.
Jim.
He ends the call. In her SUV, Linda on her cell phone. She turns left onto Highway 57 West. The Hanson's home phone.
Hi, you've reached the Hanson residence. You know what to do.
Listen, Linda. I need to tell you something. I meant what I said in front of the girls the other night, and... Well, I want you to know that.
And please remember it.
Someone's calling. Hold on.
A call from Linda.
Is that you? Linda?
Jim?
I love you, honey. I need to tell you something.
It's all right. I know about her. I know about Claire.
You do?
Yeah. I have to explain it, but it
Honey, listen. I thought that's what I wanted, but I don't. I want to make things better, you know?
Between us.
Whatever it takes.
In her SUV, Linda smiles.
I see you. I'm coming up right behind you.
You are?
I'm pulling over.
Thank you.
He pulls over next to the mile 220 sign.
See you, honey.
She spots the mile marker sign.
Oh no.
A flashback. Linda at the sign. In her SUV, Linda on the phone.
Jim, do you love me? Do you trust me?
Of course I do.
Then turn around now.
What?
I don't understand.
Turn it around.
She pulls over and watches as he turns back out onto the highway. An oncoming car swerves around him.
Jim! Okay? Jim! Jim? Baby, are you alright?
He picks his cell phone up off the floor.
Can you hear me? Are you okay? Baby, can you hear me? Oh,
sorry, I dropped the phone.
I love you.
Let's go home.
Okay, hold on.
He turns the ignition.
I stalled it.
Linda's eyes widen. A tractor trailer approaches. She runs toward him. He turns and spots the approaching truck. He tries to turn the ignition. The truck jackknifes. The trailer collides with Jim's car and drives it down the highway. Linda throws her arms over her face. The trailer explodes. With an arm, Linda shields her face from the blast. A huge fireball rises up into the air. A frantic Linda brings her hands to her face as she watches the wreck burn. A cloud of thick black smoke engulfs the wreck. An overhead view of smoke rising up from the wreck. Linda stands before it, moving erratically back and forth. In her bedroom, Linda lies asleep on a bare mattress. Megan comes running into the room.
Bambi, they're here. Hmm?
Bridget enters.
Oh, maybe I must have fallen asleep.
The moving truck is here.
I know, I heard. Healing so nicely.
Linda strokes the healing cuts on Bridget's face.
Why don't you guys go downstairs? I'll be there in a second, okay?
Okay.
The girls run off. Linda sits up, then stretches her neck. A flashback. In the church, Linda and the priest.
Faith is just believing in something beyond yourself, like hope or love. It's never too late to realize what's important in your life, to fight for it.
In her bedroom, Linda sits on her bed with her eyes lowered. A flashback. Jim takes his hands from Linda's eyes and shows her their house. In the living room, Megan and Bridget throw themselves into Jim's arms. At the playground, Megan descends the slide into Jim's arms. He lifts her and Bridget in the air. At the hospital, Jim holds Megan and Linda. In the living room, Linda comforts her daughters. In the shower, Jim holds Linda. Outside the church, people throw rice at Jim and Linda. In their bedroom, Jim and Linda kiss. In their vehicles, a smiling Jim and Linda on their phones. In their bedroom, Linda lays a hand on Jim's thigh then gazes intently up into his eyes. He pulls her close and holds her. In her bedroom, Linda rises to her feet and brings a hand to her pregnant belly. Credits. Cast, in order of appearance. Linda, Sandra Bullock. Jim, Julian McMahon. Megan, Cheyenne McClure. Bridget, Courtney Taylor Burness. Annie, Nia Long. Sheriff, Mark McCauley. Joanne, Kate Nelligan. Mrs. Quinn, Irene Ziegler. Funeral attendants, Philip Devena and Richie Montgomery. Young priest, Matt Moore. Claire, Amber Valletta. Roth, Peter Stormare. School aide, Laurel Witsit. Receptionist, Kristen Ketterer. Bob, Marcus Lyle Brown. ER doctor, Jason Douglas. Doctor's assistant, Dave Schaffer. Nurse, Floriana Tullio. Doug, Mark Famiglietti. Model home salesman, E.J. Stapleton. Father Kennedy, Jude Ciccolella. A Brass Hat co-production. A Lift co-production. Copyright 2007 Premonition Pictures Incorporated. All rights reserved. the Hyde Park Entertainment logo appears.